Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert. What the fuck, Quiznos? And with me, I have...
This is the second show I've recorded tonight. Hopefully this one won't involve mentioning water sports. God damn it, Andrew.
And...
Okay, why are you wearing a vest and why are you wearing a turtleneck? Why are you wearing both?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Fashion is very strange these days. Shit, I don't have anything else clever to say for this intro. So this is episode 134. How are you all doing?
Still trying to get over the whole hockey and basketball seasons being over, which, I did not listen to those two quote-unquote surprise Drake tracks. I don't want to hear him at all for the next ever. So close, but yeah, whatever. But a four-year prophecy has finally come true for me. That's my copy of Bloodstained. It finally came.
Oh, man. I'm honestly waiting for the Switch version to come out, because that's probably where I'm going to get the most use out of it.
Well, you only got to wait a week.
Yeah. Plus, I do get paid this weekend, so hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can dip on that and Cadence of Hyrule, and I will be set on Switch.
As for me, I've got this to play. I've got Spider-Man PS4 to play, finally. I can finally get around to that. I'm so excited to finally play it, and,
it's so good.
Yeah, I know. I just got to move my PS4 into my bedroom. But that shouldn't be too much of a problem. So, video games are cool and shit. And I'm going to be broke buying all the good games for the next 6 months.
As you can tell, we're still riding off the energy waves of E3.
Yeah.
Well, at least Nintendo crushing it.
Yeah.
Mark, what about you?
Well, let's begin on, I was going to Netflix, who did, two shows finally airing there, that being Regresco and Kagari, and I can just say, wow, Spring needed these shows, because those were pretty much the two good, one of the better anime to premiere this season, because this season's been, dry, and in need of, I don't know, be moistened some shit, but Regresco season 2, yep, still good. You on that shit, and of course I love that Kakaguri with that crazy ass gambling girl. Which, yes, there's another show, but I'll touch on that like near the end. But yeah,
a lot of stuff I need to get around to. I heard they finally put up the second half of Baki, and I gotta find the time. As for me. Well, last week was busy as shit in podcast oblivion, not just with this one, but also all the stuff I was doing over with The Training Stage. Be sure to check out their profile. It's on Twitter, at TTStage, on Spreaker. I joined up for a bunch of stuff. Shit, we were recording for like three and a half hours on fucking Thursday night alone, just me, Tyler, and Corey in the house. That was, and I don't even think that's come out yet. Jeez. It's gonna be a lot to work on for Mr. Tyler. So, there was that. Also, summer class started today, so we're recording this a little bit later than we usually do, but hopefully I'll still have it back up on, Wednesday, our usual time. I'm dedicated like that, assuming the sleep concert doesn't get in the way, which is tomorrow night. Hype. But, so with all that out of the way, time to move on to the usual business with starting with the new song discussions. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with all of these wonderful and just playing some terrible songs in there. They can't all be winners.
Yeah.
But this first one absolutely is. So, we got a new single here, courtesy of Doom Metalers' Paul Bearer. And surprisingly, it's not a part of the expected territory. This isn't like an Adult Swim single or anything. No. Apparently, this is a part of the Sub Pop Singles Club thing. Their thing they're doing. I'm pretty sure we reported on that a while ago.
Yeah, we did.
Didn't think that was actually starting
Sub Pop?
Yeah, I didn't think that was actually starting up like right now. Wow, that's... I gotta keep better track of these things. But, Lucy track here is called Atlantis. And, you know, it's pretty typical Paul Bearer stuff. Moves along at a pretty steady mid-tempo pace, sometimes bringing up the speed here and there. The guitarist chugging along and eking out these, very soothing kinds of melodies, complete with those fat lower-end guitars. Swapping between more clean tones and more, broken up, like, kind of distortion. Some pretty sweet solos in there, the usual excellent vocal melodies and everything. Even this really great grungy bridge in there as well. Everything is just as tight as ever, well-composed. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, this serves as a very solid blend of that 70s era album-oriented rock that many of us know, with the band's sense of groove-driven and proggy doom metal. That means I like it. I really should give their last album another listen. Heartless was good.
Indeed it was. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Oh, look at that. It's a visit for Papa Frank. Well, technically it's Joji.
Papa Franku.
Yeah, Papa Franku is dead. Just like, well, Pink Guy probably. You know, he got killed by Ochin-chin.
Yeah.
But we got a new single here from Joji. It's a track called Sanctuary, and yeah, that's definitely a Joji beat, pretty much to a T, the synths being moody and droning as hell while carrying the right amount of melancholy. One thing I seem to notice is that, I don't know if it's a production thing or his performance, but his vocals seem a lot more clear and less mumbly, I suppose. They're more developed, with more body to them, and holy shit, the chorus of this song is so fucking good. Who the fuck knew this guy was actually like a legitimately great R&B singer, like... Holy fuck, that's not a joke. This guy has fucking got it, man.
He's been holding back on us.
The fiend. But yeah, it's a good song. I like it.
Yeah, dude still got it. And again, he answers this very trippy ass music video with apparently him defeating it being some, I don't know, the Power Ranger Star Trekian type of shit, like I guess he got one dude's eyeball and he wants it back. It's some strange shit going on.
I don't think we were all expecting that weird tokusatsu intro in the video, but honestly, I think that the strange Super Sentai meets Galaxy Quest video makes the song greater, and it's already very strong, and it might just be his strongest solo track yet. So, good stuff there.
Now we just gotta keep a lookout for a new album or anything. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, recently on the album roundup for May, which if you haven't listened yet, you should. You know, finish listening to this, then go listen to that. We talked about the new Flying Lotus record, which featured, amongst other things, a tribute to the late Mac Miller. But looks like the tributes are still rolling in, as we got another one here, this time courtesy of Anderson .Paak's backing band The Free Nationals and Kali Uchis, even featuring some posthumous vocals from Mac himself. It's a track called Time, which seems kind of very ominous given the circumstances.
This track, like, this is very like that group. The very groovy R&B that's like, even though I'm like, the last few national thing you heard was that one track they did like a few months ago, if I can recall. But this track is very, you know, very, it's very smooth. It's very smooth. It's very gentle. Like, it got Kali Uchis singing. She does a good job, man. And when you hear Max, like, you know, that's such a Mac Miller's, like more laid back rap, always does, like, oh, it's like, oh, I'm reminded of what we ain't gonna hear that much anymore, which is kind of, well, kind of sad, because, well, yeah, but yeah, because, like, it's a very laid back chill type of shit that Mac is known for, and if it's so, if you look within, you know, within this type of production here from the Free Nationals, but yeah, this track is pretty good.
Yeah, you know, listening to it, hearing the back and forth between Kali Uchis' lyrics and the recordings from Mac, I wouldn't be surprised if this was meant to be a collaboration at some point. Like, if this was something cooking in the pipeline, because it kind of sounds like they're playing off each other in a certain way. Or maybe, you know, Kali wrote this in retrospect after the fact, but, you know, still interesting to think about.
Yeah, I heard, I think he was written like, before the whole death happened, but I don't know. That's just what I assume, at least what I know of. But yeah, that's all I got. But yeah, this track is still good.
Now, moving on to our next track here. We're about a month away, quite literally, from when you're probably first hearing this episode, from the newest album from Sum 41, Order in Decline, out July 19th. And we have the second single from the album titled A Death in the Family. Now, this one, you know, it comes out pretty strong right out of the gate. There's that aggressive, menacing stomp to it, ripping ahead with those pounding hardcore punk D-beats. Pretty strong vocals and melodies in a lot of these parts, especially in the chorus, which kind of makes a nice offset bridge against, you know, the punk energy of everything. There's a pretty gnarly guitar solo in there with kind of like a glam energy to it. And it's like, you know, I didn't think I'd be saying this in 2019, but I'm kind of really looking forward to this now. I mean, I know I was already like, this is actually kind of good with the last single, but I'm saying that again here, so yeah, I'm kind of on board for whatever they're going to be doing with this.
Yeah, I don't know how or why Sum 41 got more of a metal edge to them, but this is really good. I'm a bit more hopeful for this whole album once it comes out. It could very well be a sleeper hit if it sticks the landing. And for the sake of the last two tracks we've heard, going forward, it better stick the landing. I will be very disappointed if it just, you know, isn't up to that level. So please don't let me down, guys. Otherwise, I'll have to come up to Canada to smack some sense into you. And to probably get a few shots in at Drake for reasons that you all know of.
Canada.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. So recently we discussed some new music out of the camp of Sleater Kinney. They were working on a new album produced by St. Vincent herself. And we now know that it's coming out August 16th. It's called The Center Won't Hold. And we have the second single from the album here, The Future Is Here. Ooh, ominous sounding. But, I mean, yeah, like, it kind of opens, like, you know, with that St. Vincent production style, it's probably no surprise that it kind of opens with some, like, buzzy indie pop synths. You can kind of feel, like, this low rumbling bass and this steady build of the drums, this slow building sort of garage kind of grunge-ish guitar melodies. Distortions build up here and there over the song. There's of course the usual excellent vocal interplay from everyone in the band and in the choruses and everything. Yeah, it's a pretty solid track overall. You know, I did get into Sleater Kinney rather recently, but I'm inclined to see where this goes. And moving on from that, so one thing you're probably going to notice a lot in this episode is that collaborations are a recurring motif this week for some reason. So what better way to start it than with Freddie Gibbs and Madlib? But wait, there's more!
Yes. We mentioned him before, this episode, in case you didn't get the last 2 minutes. But yeah, it also features Anderson .Paak!
.Paak!
And of course, another single of the Bandana coming next week, which I'm excited for that. And the title is called I cannot say this name right. Genesis. I know it's his name after an NBA player whose name I will fuck up if I say it because I.
Wait a minute. Isn't that the top? Isn't that the top third ranked superhero in My Hero Academia? Best genus? That was a bad joke. I apologize.
Okay, so anyway, on this shit, like, you know, like Freddie Gibbs has some damn good bars, which You got all brother industry, got you sleeping, but bitch, I'm woke. I know the devil. These niggas be falling off like Ace Hood, Volley Brazzle. Niggas understand that 360 need a percentage of every income stream, which, okay, you got some looks. And of course, you got Anderson Paak doing this shit as well, which you got all this lyric, which says, Kane and all the blood, shots to the brain, snow on the bluff, causing for a truce, but truce coming snubs. And of course, that Matt production, which, since he got that Bollywood sample shit going on, because I recognize it'd be something like that, because those are some, like, I recognize that it was something Bollywood, because I heard some shit like something forth on his Quasimodo project, which he always be doing, like, that's where he, like, raps in a high voice, kind of like that, well, almost like that, but yeah. But this got another banging track from Faye Gibbs and Madlib, and with cracking chorus. Can't wait for next week. I want that album. I need to hear that album. My guy, it is so good. But I wonder what can hold me off this week until that calm.
Oh, I think you know what very well could.
Yes. And right down to the next track. So many people know that I've been praising the word that is Griselda. I've been praising mostly West Side Gun, whose next album comes out next month, which I can't wait for that. But the ease up is an EP from one Benny the Butcher, which was titled The Plugs I Met. Well, it's EP, and he got one track called NT Ruler, and it features Pusha T. Yes, we're just getting on to do the whole coke rap shit, which, okay, because it's December and grimy, riding to be dirty, like, was what you expected from well, Pusha, and of course being the Butcher is also does well on that too, like. Like, I can see why people will vote on him, because, like, last year he had that Tana Talk 3 album, which I did listen to, but I didn't listen to it fully, which that got a lot of, you know, a lot of, like, rap, a lot of, like, Hip Hop Critics Best Stuff list, which, that album's good, but what I got here, a very, you know, bonafide with the DJ Scratches, with that shit, very, very cool. The co-rap shit was just excellent.
You know, I don't even gotta say shit. Like, just listen to the song. These guys are going hard as fuck. And it's pretty much perfect proof of why Drake lost that beef. Well, the fucking coke raps for days, son. Anyway, that out of the way, time to move on to this past week's entry into the Adult Swim Singles program. Ooh, and it's an especially heavy offering this week, coming from up-and-coming Arizona death metalers Gates Creeper, which are in the midst of, you know, hopefully prepping their sophomore album soon. I hope it comes out this year. I really like their debut from a couple years back. It was pretty killer death metal. So, yeah, we got a new single here called Anxiety. And right away, it's pretty, you know, quintessentially death metal shit. Those razor-sharp, buzzing riffs ripping all across the track. Those fucking, like, obituary-style D-beat drums. The sheer sonic power of the production as you feel every hit of the kick just rumbling your being, even during those particularly huge-sounding double kick runs. Those, you know, halftime bridges with the fucking right cymbal beats and everything. Those fucking heavy-as-hell vocals. The heavy-as-hell instrumentation. That squealing as hell solo. Yeah, it's just, it's straightforward to the point. It's fucking awesome. It's killer. It's heavy. It's good shit. I need that new album.
Now, this is the kind of thing I'd like to hear from a band like Three Teeth, but since that won't happen, these guys have got my attention with their approach to, as they call it on their Bandcamp page, Arizona Caveman Death Metal. That's certainly a description.
That is rather accurate.
Yeah. And
that's very specific.
Yeah, and that ending sequence is gnarly and insane. And points for the extra Mike Portnoy fill at the end, too.
That's some good shit right there, Ming.
Yeah. That's how you get my attention.
Anyway, moving out of that territory for a second. Oh, hey, look at that. We're back with BTS again. Releasing more music to promote that mobile game thing that's coming out. Is it next week or later? I forget when.
Next week.
Ah, yeah, next week. So, yeah, we got a new track here called A Brand New Day, which features guest vocals from someone named Zara Larsson and production from Muramasa. This was definitely more distinct from, like, the trap elements of the last song I heard from them. It leans in a lot more on auxiliary percussion elements, like bells and chimes and all that. Definitely some woodwinds, too. I'm not really sure what the lyrics are, half of them, or really what they have to do with anything. You know, normally I just listen to this, like, it's pleasing melodies and shit, but, you know, it is what it is. The beat sounds pretty good, the performances are okay, production's pretty solid. It's all right.
Yep, it's definitely all right. And you know, in the late 90s, it was all about those Euro dance hall beats when it came to boy bands. And now in 2019, it's just all about those trap beats. That makes me a little bit squeamish to imagine Backstreet Boys songs with trap beats. And, anyway, yeah, the song is pretty good. Got a nice groove to it. Some strong chorus hooks. It's more BTS. You know, all the girls will love it.
Yeah, and by the way, let's sincerely hope that we never have to hear Backstreet Boys on an album, and then somewhere out of nowhere you hear Mustard on a Beat.
Oh. God.
Look, I'm just preparing us for the cringe because the next song kind of mandates it. So, yeah, this... I'm not even sure how to set this up, so... Marshmello collaborated on a track with A Day to Remember. This is a thing that exists, because we live in the darkest timeline, I guess. Yeah, the track, it's called Rescue Me. Apparently has no relation to that Dennis Leary show. Is that a Dennis Leary show? I feel like it was a Dennis Leary show.
Yes, it is. Pretty good show, too.
Alright. And, I mean, you know, it starts off right away like fucking Marshmello production... I guess, I don't know, like, hearing the Day to Remember guy singing against his beat kind of sounds like some fucking Imagine Dragons shit. Then, in the build-up to the chorus, the actual band itself does technically kick in, and it's just, you know, I was never the biggest fan of A Day to Remember, just never really got the appeal, to be honest. It's really almost aggressively bland, especially considering the way there's all this, like, you know, sort of easy core build-up in the verses to a really limp-ass chorus where it's just all Marshmello production. Oh, and you gotta love the parts in the video where you can very clearly hear a trap beat, but the drummer is playing along like he can fool us into thinking it's something else.
Same with the guitarist.
Yeah, it's like, you know...
He's not a trap beat.
What the fuck even is this, man? I'm not even sure I have words, just why?
Like, okay, I'm not too big on A Day to Remember, even though I think Common Courtesy is one of the best metal albums of this decade. It's really good. So I'm going into this with a bit of a clean slate. Don't really know what to expect. And, I mean, it's fine. It's pretty boilerplate, basic radio rock, but I'm just left wondering... why the Fortnite helmet guy is here? He brings the whole thing down, like the chorus. It has the band performing it, and then it just switches up to the electronic beats, and it just... Guys, you can have one or the other, but you can't have both, okay? It doesn't work. This song, in its current form, does not work. Go back to Fortnite, weird helmet guy, and leave the top-of-the-line producers like Deadmau5 to go into some superior games, like Goat Simulator.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care what you do, you're not convincing me to buy any V-Bucks.
Ugh.
Or watch Ninja on Twitch.
Yeah.
But, unfortunately, the cringe does not end there, and...
Oh.
Okay,
God.
But before we start, are you all absolutely sure you don't want a shot of rum? Because I got it right here. If any of y'all need it, I'm willing to share.
I'm 3 hours into recording stuff. I got my drink right here.
Okay.
Can't take that drink.
Although, sure. I will say I took a little. I took a little bit something earlier just to erase the memories of that fucking video from this morning.
Oh God.
This aired on Good Morning America. My, how the mighty have fallen.
Oh.
Taylor Swift.
Haven't already fallen?
Yeah. So, there is indeed a new album we have to deal with. It's coming out August 23rd. It's called Lover, and we have a new single called You Need to Calm Down. Look, you know, the production is, I'll just say that, it's whatever, it's the, basically the modern pop shit or whatever, that, what really matters is you're listening to what are easily some of the most cringe-ass lyrics I've heard from the Taylor camp in a while, and some of them are, you know, basic cringe, like, you're taking shots at me like it's Patron. Oh God, I don't even want to drink now. You have ruined drinking for me, madam. Snakes and stones never break my bones. I mean, I'm not sure snakes really can break bones. That sounds more like a cobra thing or a python. And then there's parts of the song where, of course, they have to dive into the discourse. Why are you mad when you can be glad? And yes, glad as in GLAAD. Shade never made anybody less gay.
Oh boy.
Should I be the one to inform her that this doesn't fucking work?
I just slammed my head on the desk, so, yeah, Alex, do that, you can guess I.
Yeah, so, continue to fuck off, Taylor, please. And I guess this is what the kids call millennial pop. It doesn't do a damn thing for me, I don't really care, and, added call out. Her co-songwriter on this track, Joe Little, who also co-wrote Me, I hope the paycheck clears, because my God, this is some of the fucking worst songwriting I've heard in a long time.
Man. I don't even this have is words.
This is some basic ass bullshit. And you know what? This is an album released in August. I think I know why. Well, I think all of us know why she released in August. Remember when we talked about the Grammy deadline being last day of August?
Oh my God, I completely forgot about that. Shit.
Yeah. That's all for the future. Okay. If you listen to this Lil Nas X, please keep Old Turbo number one for the summer, like, Fuck it, have that song be number one, or I don't know, you or Billie Eilish. Either you two, keep Taylor being number one.
I can tell you right now, Old Town Road is still number one for the 11th straight week.
That gives me a little bit of relief in my cold black soul.
Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, it's the one thing we can all cling to right now.
But that at least brings us to the end of the new song discussions. Now, I have to go recover from the concussion from the head disc, so news topics, later thing, I guess. Roll music. And we're back. Now, we got two major news topics here, but Of course, we gotta have a quick little interruption from Mr. Michael Lang, as always, because the story just won't die.
Guys, I don't want to keep doing this anymore. Can Michael Lang stop being stupid and cheap, please?
If he could have, he would have by now.
Alas, an update to the developments from last week regarding Watkins Glen kicking Woodstock out and leaving them homeless for their planned festival, which they insist is still going to happen in less than 2 months, but whatever. So as it turns out, there was a bit of a $300,000 licensing fee that the festival organizers had agreed to pay Watkins Glen Speedway to host the festival. Only they missed the latter half of that. They missed $150,000 of that payment. It was due on the 15th of May, and when they didn't get their money, a breach of contract notification was sent out on June 3rd, and so happened later, and now Woodstock is still homeless.
Still.
Just end it. Like, I'm looking at Woodstock 50 right now. The first news story I see is from E, and it says Woodstock 50 could be on the verge of becoming the next fire festival. Gee, who said that first? We did.
That's why y'all should be listening to us.
Yeah.
We're just recording this shit timely and everything.
Yeah. Alas. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock.
Anyway, with that out of the way, let's move on to the actual bigger news topics. So, one of the more interesting things that happened last year, as far as a Cartoon Network, was the apparent finale of Steven Universe. Like, okay, I know that was like a big hour-long event, you know, we all watched it, I assume. But, like, watching it, pretty much everyone I saw in real time, we all had the same reaction, like, wait, that's the end? Because, I mean, I know they promoted it as a big event, but they didn't give it the same Sturm und Drang as, like, Adventure Time's finale or regular show's finale, but it played out like it resolved the major overarching conflicts of the story. I guess there must still be more to explore, because pretty much immediately afterwards, we got news that we're getting a Steven Universe movie coming sometime this fall. And of course, it's a musical. We know that because of a new teaser they posted up, which also reveals a significant amount of musical talent getting involved in the film. Alongside, you know, people like Estelle, who are already part of the show's voice cast, we also have the involvement of Chance the Rapper, apparently. You know, because Rebecca Sugar mentioned being a big fan, so, you know, I guess they somehow connected, and, you know, that whole thing worked itself out.
Yeah, again, among him, the rappers, there's people like Gala, a.k.a. that artist you remember as she appeared on his song once, that we covered before, which, so long ago. Her, and I know there's Payla Pong, who voices Yellow Diamond. The other name, Macy Stewart, and Mike Kroll, who signed the collaborator with Sugar for the, you know, original songs for the movie. Of course, they joined the composers, you know, the series composers, Abby and shit, I can't say that.
I think it's pronounced Sarashu.
Sarashu, and of course, they did join them, you know. You know, for the music, and of course, you know, the whole cast, you know, the whole thing as well, which, you know, I kind of do see Chance doing this. See something that is up his alley, and also a way to say, hey, you're doing stuff that's likable again, because recently you ain't been doing that.
Yeah, so we don't know much about the movie yet. All we do know is that apparently it actually is taking place sometime after the events of Change Your Mind, and I don't know how long, but apparently there's gonna be some new kind of foe that, you know, forces the Crystal Gems to get back into action. Lord knows that this is gonna be some kind of, like, I guess, like, you know, future, like, however many years later continuation, you know, kind of like what the Ben 10, series all did, you know, before they decided to pointlessly reboot it.
So is this like,
but, I mean, that's certainly an option, I suppose. Wait, what?
So is this like Steve Universe Shippuden or some shit like that?
Yes, yes, probably, although at the very least it won't have ostriches wearing a needless amount of bow ties. What even is that show, man? But, yeah, we'll just have to wait until the fall for that to land on television and find out. Now, for our last proper topic here, let's start off on a bit of a tangent. Media preservation. Something that is always the most exciting of topics. But, you know, of course, obviously, it's, you know, played a big deal, especially in the current decade or so. You know, as the industry shifts more and more towards, you know, digital archives and streaming, with physical taking somewhat of a back seat. Of course, you know, all sorts of HD transfers to new higher premium formats for everything from movies, television, and, you know, films and anime and all that shit. But obviously, for a lot of this stuff to work, you know, whether it be an HD remaster of a classic anime or, you know, porting a game, you obviously need some kind of a source, like a source code or, you know, film negatives or master tapes or something. That kind of stuff is important. Trust me, I'm pretty sure the guys at Discotech Media would know all about that with all the fine work they've been doing, yeah. You know, trying to get classics like Fist of the North Star and Cyborg 009 into more modern formats for you know, guys like us. But of course, that's also how it works for music as well. You know, anytime you hear a remaster of some album from like 20 or so years ago, they obviously have to go back to a physical set of master tapes. That's kind of in the name. Remaster. But, you know, sometimes this stuff gets lost. Usually the most quintessential excuse for this in the world is, say it with me, kids, a fire in the warehouse. Which is, apparently what happened, about 11 years ago, and we're only finding out about this now. So, okay, there was a big fire at Universal Studios Hollywood in 2008, but, when this news first broke out, Universal shifted the attention to, you know, video content and King Kong theme park attraction that got burned down. But apparently, a whole lot of master tapes for various classic albums and singles got completely destroyed. And again, we're only finding out about this now. And for the record, this isn't like small potatoes or anything. We're talking from the likes of Nirvana, R.E.M., John Coltrane, Joni Mitchell, Eminem, Aretha Franklin, Nine Inch Nails, Ray Charles, Tupac, Janet Jackson, Beck, Snoop Dogg, and so many others. In fact, to get even more specific, according to a, I believe this was a New York mm-hmm. Times piece,
yes,
they specify recordings such as almost all of Buddy Holly's masters, most of John Coltrane's Impulse Records releases, and singles such as Rock Around the Clock by Bill Haley and his Comets. Yeah, there's, I think, I forget where I saw this somewhere, but I think a number was dropped that it was, like, close to, like, 500,000 master tapes.
This is absolutely terrifying. Holy crap.
Yeah, like, Jesus, where, what the fuck are, like, man, these things are going to be, like, I mean, sure, there's probably, like, classic versions of this stuff laying around, but Lord knows how rare that is, and, you know, there's pretty much going to be, like, next to impossible to be able to get these things to, you know, updated for the masses in any way, if they ever want to do, like, remasters or releases onto the digital service. Yeah,
that's always very touchy when it comes to music preservation, because master tapes will always be in possession of either the rights holders or the artist themselves, like with Metallica. So all we get are, I don't want to say lesser versions, but I'll just say consumer quality versions. But when we do get remasters, especially quality remasters, like some of the remasters we've heard Stephen Wilson remix of bands like King Crimson and Tears for Fears, those can be touched up into supreme, pristine quality. But that's a little hard to do if master tapes get destroyed in a fire. And we do have to give credit to Jody Rosen, who did this investigation for the New York Times, because this is a really friggin' big deal right here. Holy God.
Very, man. Like, holy shit! Like, how, again, like, it's not just that it's awful, but the fact that, however, I have no idea how Universal kept quiet, how this kept quiet for, like, 11 years.
Yeah, they kind of shifted the focus over to, I believe it was a King Kong film set as, yeah, as the major loss, but, yeah, per this investigative piece from the New York Times, in a confidential report between Universal Music Group detailing some of their losses, an estimated 500,000 song titles were lost. And this was issued in 2009.
Jesus. Yeah. So my estimate was right.
Well.
And the dollar amount for this whole damage, right around $150 million.
Jesus Christ.
Decca masters were lost. We're talking tapes from Judy Garland, Louis Armstrong, Bing Crosby, Ella Fitzgerald. We're going back a long ways here. Chuck Berry's chess masters. Masters from Muddy Waters, Buddy Guy, Bo Diddley, Etta James. Gone.
Fuck.
Dude. Jesus, like $150 million. That is summer blockbuster movie budgets.
Go on. There's a lot here.
I'm pretty sure that's how much they made the 2014 Godzilla for. You lost a Godzilla's worth of music.
Yeah.
Man, this sucks.
Yeah. And of course, you're going to get a spokesperson from Universal Music Group claiming that this piece from the New York Times contains, quote, numerous inaccuracies, misleading statements, contradictions, and fundamental misunderstandings of the scope of the incident and affected assets. Because, you know, it's the New York Times, and, you know.
Covering my ass, because shit, I want all this money.
Yeah, it's just like Amazon saying Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is wrong in her claim that Amazon isn't doing enough for their employees. No, sit down.
Yes, sit down indeed.
Do go ahead.
I'm going to say now. Fuck.
Sorry about that.
But I had it.
While you're trying to find that, I can tell you a bit of good news to sort of take our minds off of this. Danny Brown has a show on Viceland premiering next month.
Oh yeah, that is a thing.
Yeah. So yeah.
I didn't see the trailer though.
Yeah. So yeah, this is kind of a big piece. I advise everybody, read the whole story from the New York Times Magazine. There's a lot that we're not getting into, mostly due to time. But, yeah, this is terrifying.
Yeah.
All of these masters just
pretty
gone.
Gone in the sands of dusk. The dust of time. I don't know. They're dust in the wind now. Damn. I was gonna say, in translation of what they're saying is, UMG saying the top piece, they're basically saying, they lying, don't believe them, them niggas lying there.
Well, someone's lying here, but I think we all know who it actually is. Anyway, with all that out of the way, that ends the news discussion. So now to get on to the new album releases for the week of June 21st, 2019. Starting at the top, we have a new project from Collective Soul called Blood. There's a new album from Head PE called Stampede. The Raconteurs are back to waste our time with Help Us Stranger. We got a new project from Two Door Cinema Club called False Alarm. A new one from Titus Andronicus called An Obelisk. The return of Harry and the Potters with Lumos for you weird wizard rock fans out there. we have the upcoming debut album from producer Hachi with Keepsake. We have the Prince Demos album Originals dropping this week. The much-anticipated debut EP from Lil Nas X with Seven. And, of course, the new project from Mark Ronson with Late Night Feelings. So now is the part where we clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, the name is Aura of Azure, where you can find me. It's about anywhere. I'm even on Xbox Live now because I did that PC Game Pass beta test, which is cool, and I might get some use out of. So you never know where you might find me.
Nice. Mark, what about you?
As usual, Mac2HyperMe on Twitter and on my site, mindofthehyperone.wordpress.com. Recently, I did a review of Mars Comic Alliance Season 2, which is on Netflix now. Well, the dub is, anyway. It was anyway, that's... No, that's how I watched it, because, you know, I gotta get on that shit. Also, Chap Game finale coming soon. Well, this Saturday.
Nice. As for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Curious Cat at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surreyresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're always notified whenever new episodes go up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Surreal Rezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website surrealresolution.com for, you know, written articles, this podcast, podcast M&A, and all that good stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord if you want to relive terrifying memories of Quiznos commercials. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, see you again next week. And until then, I agree, Taylor Swift. Can you just not?
Go away, please.